Maxine. You're quite a popular name in adult entertainment, is that correct?
Did you always want to be in that line of work?
I always wanted to be famous.
Just another movie night.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. We are Just Another Movie Night, and I am Scott.
And I'm Joe.
And today we are doing before and after reviews, where we see a brand new movie in the theater and give our thoughts before and after.
Spoiler free, of course.
Spoiler free, of course. At least we try.
Hey.
Yes.
It's not a dig.
It's not a dig. We try. Sometimes we're a little drunk, sometimes we're not. You never know what's going to happen on this show.
Well, I do plan on having a beer or two before the movie, so I should be fine by the time we get.
Yeah. No beer at the theater.
No. I don't do that anymore.
Yeah. Okay, so today we are seeing Maxine. Mia Goth and Ty West's collaboration. This is the third in a trilogy. And it's been a really interesting ride. Something that very odd in the horror community to get something like this.
Yeah.
Because I would say because usually we're either going to get a franchise or we're going to get something that could be expanded upon but isn't so successful and doesn't get more. This is one of those rare cases where they just said, yeah, just make a bunch of these.
Yeah.
And Ty West is going on. I mean, these weren't as successful as they should have been. I really think the first one, X, should have been more of a scene horror film, which is odd because so many horror movies make money. And X is one of those rare ones that actually deserved people to see it. And I guess we should say that. I guess we should talk about this, Ty West in general, because he seems like a hot button topic with horror fans. So many people do not like his films. And then there's the others that seem to like his films. And for people who don't know us very well, anyways, we're fans of his.
Yes.
I can speak for myself. I know that to me, the movie that people seem to hate, House of the Devil, I really like.
You really like that one.
Yeah, I really enjoy his eye. And I also enjoyed X and Pearl.
Mm-hmm.
I've enjoyed his movies. I think The Innkeepers, not so much for me. But those three films in particular, I really enjoy. And I think that what's really interesting about him as a director is that he gets knocked for doing homages, which so many filmmakers do, that people like.
Right.
And this is one of those trains where I never understand where everybody's getting off and getting on. Because some people like, oh, Tarantino's great. And then he does homages like constantly. He's always paying a tribute to things that he grew up on and loved.
I was just going to mention Tarantino.
And yeah. I think I'm a huge fan of De Palma, but he's another one who was very known for doing the same thing. And he's gotten some slack, you know, or flack, I should say. But it's odd to me because how do you throw a rock in the industry of any pop culture and not hit someone else's work?
True.
You really can't do anything new and inventive without embracing what got you there in the first place. So what's wrong with that? And people who say X is just Texas Chainsaw Massacre, I would say maybe watch that again. Maybe that's a point. Maybe it is a love letter on top of something else. And it to me, it is a pretty damn good film. So I'm a little shocked by it. The same thing with House of the Devil. Oh, it's I don't too get slow.
That. No, yeah. I don't get that Texas Chainsaw Massacre thing. I don't know. I mean, I can understand a little bit, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But it's a different. It's a different.
Of course, film. I mean, but it was purposefully done.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you not? I mean, I don't understand that. And I don't understand why that's a bad thing. I never get that. To me, these films have been this really great and interesting study of Mia Goth. Like her acting range and doing all these really inventive duality concepts and these exploration of women in these situations that are either forcing them to be something or telling them they can't be.
Yeah.
And that is a really great concept to explore. And I cannot wait to see how this movie in particular ends this kind of exploration of those things.
Yeah, I try not to read anything on this, like any reviews or anything.
No, I don't know anything.
Yeah, I don't know anything at all. So I'm going in with a total, like, hopeful look on this. Plus, I love her. I think she has such a great acting range. I love her. I mean, she can do a whole 20-minute scene with just her face.
Oh, yeah.
It's fantastic. So
she's been robbed. We've talked about this. It's one of these horror actresses that deserved Academy Award love, at least nomination love.
Yeah,
because she did so much in Pearl and in X.
Yes,
that most actresses don't get to explore. So I think that she definitely needs the recognition. I think we did an episode of our Oscar wishes for a couple years back, and I said it like 100 times. Like Mia Goth is just being robbed.
Yeah, X was like one of my favorite movies of that year. Like, not even just horror movies, but just movies in general of that year. I loved it.
Yeah, well, in Pearl, just the ending alone.
Yeah.
I think everybody kind of agrees. Not even just the ending. The entire speech, the monologue that she has, really shows her acting range. And it is incredibly delivered.
Yeah.
I love it. And I look forward to his directing, and I look forward to her acting here. Especially when you hear her talk. In the real world, in interviews, the voice is so unlike anything here,
mm-hmm.
And I think that even makes me like her more as an actress.
Yeah,
because it just like a whole other person is on screen.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting. I don't know anything about what is going on with the on-set drama that happened in January. I haven't heard anything since.
I don't even know about that. So.
Yeah, there was like news a whole scandal where Extra said she kicked him in the head purposely. And it was like a background actor or something. And I haven't heard a damn thing about it since.
Well, it came and went, so it was probably just a rumor.
I don't know what happened there. You think you would hear a little bit more, but they probably swept it under the rug a little bit.
Probably.
Who knows?
I don't know. So what are your expectations going in?
Well,
I should say.
Like we were discussing, such a good series so far. So interesting, so unique. Each movie has been a very interesting stab at what they're doing. And so here, I'm probably more cautious with this one than I have been.
Why? Because it's the last one?
The concept, like the other ones had this really interesting idea of like isolation. And this one is going to be in a city, and it's going to be more people, and it's going to be like this whole new like avenue to explore.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that avenue will be the right kind for what has been already done. So I don't know. I'm a little nervous about that.
I'm not nervous because it's set in the 80s, and that's my favorite decade. Love it.
I mean, if you're going in for just the nostalgia. Maybe that.
I don't know.
Let's scratch an itch.
It's a factor. So
yeah,
it's a factor for me. So yeah, I'm.
Yeah, well, what's your thought? What's your score?
I mean, I think I'm gonna come out of this with at least a 7.
Oh wow. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm probably gonna come out with a six.
You think so?
Probably.
I think I'm gonna like this movie. I just like watching her on screen, no matter what she's doing. I just think she's great, and I think hopefully that Ty West will round it out in a good way.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sorry.
And there's
I have like goobers in my throat.
I can hear it.
Yeah, I gotta get that out. Okay. Carry on.
I was just gonna say there's also a pretty interesting cast around the movie too. I know Kevin Bacon's in this. I know that there doing a kind of the, I don't know what killer it was in the 80s around where they are in the movie in Hollywood, but I think they're taking place with it, some real killer and kind of going to merge that into the movie somehow, and I'm really fascinated on how.
I think it was the Night Stalker.
Is it the Night Stalker? Okay.
Richard, what's his name? Yeah, the Night Stalker. I could be wrong, but we watched a whole long documentary on the Night Stalker.
Okay. I sometimes forget what area each person was,
I'm
you know.
pretty sure it's the Night Stalker. I could be wrong, but we'll find out. But I'm stoked to see this. I hope I don't get let down, but I believe in Ty West and I think that he's going to do good. I have high hopes for this, and maybe I shouldn't have high hopes for this, but I do.
Yeah, you always think that, right? Like maybe I shouldn't go in with such high hopes.
Well, it's
You
too
never
late.
know.
I can't help it because I've been waiting for this movie to come out forever.
Yeah.
So when I first saw the trailer, and I'm stoked. I'm stoked beyond
Yeah,
stoked.
it's just a rare occasion that we get something. So it has a three movies in a very under, like it's not very discussed. It's not very, I mean, the horror people who love this know about it, but it's not like the mainstream, which is baffling to me.
Yeah, I
You,
have
I would,
friends at work who don't even know what this is.
yeah, and that's what I'm talking about. Like it, and again, I haven't seen many trailers, so it's weird, and it sucks because, damn, I feel like things like this should get a little bit more advertising, and I feel like people should know it more, especially since other properties that are very subpar get so much love.
Yeah, we don't have
Yeah.
to name them, but I know
No,
what we're both thinking.
yeah. It's just odd to me, but it's really cool to see it, like a culty film get three movies. Very interesting. I can't wait to see how this ends it too.
I'm curious to see how it's all going to come together.
Yeah.
So,
All right,
yeah.
let's go check it out.
All right.
Name five celebrities who got their start in horror movies.
Jamie Lee Curtis, John Travolta, Demi Moore, and
Maxine Minx.
The Night Stalker
is terrorizing Los Angeles.
I can handle myself.
So said every bad girl in Hollywood.
Maxine, I'm the private detective. I had to find you. The past ain't finished with you.
What are you hiding, Maxine?
If I tell you something, we've got confidentiality.
What'd you do?
And we're back. We just saw a movie. What movie we see?
We saw Maxine.
What you got? What you got for me?
Fucking sucked. I hated it. I was very disappointed. I went in with all these high expectations. This was the most lackluster, boring third act of a trilogy that I have seen in many, many years. I felt very let down. I'm going to say it right off the bat. Mia Goth did not have a fraction of the charisma and acting abilities that she showed in the other two movies. And I'm very let down. And I'm pretty angry. I'm not going to lie. Pretty angry right now.
Yeah, I found this movie disappointing as well. It was more that it felt exactly the way that I was afraid that it would feel, which was getting her in a more open environment would close up that like that claustrophobic world that we watched her in each movie. And this one opened it up into the entire thing about being a celebrity. And we got more and more characters. But as we got more and more characters, each character felt more cartoonish. I will give the movie some credit. I don't know if you agree with this. I would like to hear your thoughts. I really like the way that he directed it and made it feel like the 80s.
Yes, that was one of the only things that I truly appreciated about the movie.
Yeah, I would say that some of the casting is questionable for
Questionable.
the tone, but he used a film grade, he used the credits, he used the sets, the cars, the outfits, and people. he found a good way to make everybody feel like the 80s.
Yeah.
But like I said, some of the characters kind of tonally clashed. Like going off and on from, I don't know, cartoony versions of people, the way their people reacted. And I know that I'm sure it was all done for a purpose, but I don't think that the purpose overall worked.
No, it didn't. It was very, like, I felt as though I was watching a film noir, but it didn't land. It didn't have those elements that you want in a movie like this. That was kind of like in the trailer. The trailer was 5 times better than the whole movie. And that's rare because most of the time the trailers, they lie, you know, it's kind of like a dupe where you get, you know, what you end up getting in the movie is not really what you're seeing in the trailer. There's a lot of, you know, things that get taken out, and it's just the trailers are usually edited for dramatic effect and to lure you in. And it did that. It was effective. It did lure me in. But the end result of the movie was a huge letdown. It could have been one of those kind of like, because it did have something to do with, we were right about the Night Stalker, but it went nowhere.
Yeah, it really wasn't important at all.
No, it set it up like it was going to be something. And then it just forgot about that whole entire plot line. And I was like, okay, well, what is the reasoning?
They had because they had a problem where you can only do one or two things. You have to pay respect to the victims of the actual killer and say that events weren't changed unless you're doing what Tarantino did and it was like the alternate history in which those people survived. And it's like more of a love letter to the victims than it is the villains.
You're referring to Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Yes, where Tarantino is famous. Okay. He also Inglourious Bastards, which he's making his alt history. Like, you know, I like that, and I could deal with that if that's what was going on here as well. But it doesn't. It's using it only as a backdrop to make another mystery type thing. And what we get is not even close to being worthy of even trying to do that, like that thing. In fact, they could have just done anything and it wouldn't have mattered.
Right.
Overall. I don't know. I think
without giving away any spoilers, there's a couple of kickbacks, a couple of flashbacks to what happened in X and Pearl and things like that.
Just X.
Or really X, yeah. But I feel like it didn't land anywhere. Like, there was nowhere for that to go. And they didn't pursue any sort of, like, lore. They kind of just did whatever they wanted to do in this. Like, when I said it was, like, kind of like a film noir, it really had that feel. It did.
It wanted to be.
It wanted to be. But then it just, everything went the opposite direction. Like, there was absolutely no need for, you know, Kevin Bacon's character in this.
It was probably the best parts.
I mean, yeah, but you'll admit that he was very cartoonish. Oh, that's the problem with it.
The top. There's even, like, I'm forgetting the actor's name who plays one of the cops. Everybody's
Bobby Cannavale?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you. I knew I was going to butcher trying to say that name.
Well, you're married to an Italian broad.
Yes. But yeah, I feel even he was like, this is a caricature. You know, like, that's how I feel about, like, some of the characters in general. Which is a shame, because there are things here that are definitely worth a damn.
Yeah.
In the overall scheme, there is an alleyway incident that happens that is quite great. It's things like that. And I just feel like overall, you kind of wished that this was kind of an 80s mixed in with, you know, maybe him changing genre. You know, yeah. Which if the movie seems like it wants to do, like you're saying, doing film noir while also doing horror, but the transfer could have been really well done where this became more like a De Palma's Blowout or Dress to Kill.
Yeah.
This could have been something really well done if he maybe got a little bit on his high horse of directing and stylizing the whole film. Maybe this could have been something really stellar, but it almost feels, and I maybe I'm wrong here, this is something that maybe someone can explain to me later on, what the overall message was, because it was lost on me. It's one of those rare times.
We can talk off pod about what I believe the message was. I could be wrong, but I just feel like this was just a misuse of everybody's time. I mean, talk about a misuse of actors. I mean, Giancarlo Esposito, he's amazing. He had nothing to do here. Like, why would you even want to put him in this movie? I mean, without giving away anything, I mean, it's just a waste. I feel like, you know, at least Kevin Bacon had some moments where he was just getting to ham it up. But even Mia Goth, I mean, she was muted as compared to, like, the other films. It's very muted, very muted. And I just couldn't help but think, like, this could have been, like, one of those suspenseful, like, 1950s, you know, suspense movies, like, you know, from Hitchcock. Like, one of those, but set in the 80s, and they could have really done it right, but except they didn't.
Especially since the movie goes out of its way to pay a little bit of a tribute to Hitchcock.
100%. I was thinking about the whole time.
And I think that's why I brought up De Palma, because De Palma has been paying tribute to Hitchcock for a bit.
Yeah.
And his movies feel very similar.
Yeah.
And I felt like they could have gone in that direction. I don't know. Yeah. I feel like he had an overall thought of why he wanted to do this movie and continue the character. When I don't really know if it was necessary, I would have liked more of expanding on the plot line of the tape from X. At the end of X, that is, you know, there is a tape that is found by the cops.
Yes.
And this movie kind of touches on it,
mm-hmm.
but then just forgets about it.
It does forget about many things, and it leaves you wondering, like, okay, wait, well, did I just watch that? And why did I watch that? Well, like, what are they going to explain anything? And are we going to get any kind of feeling or emoting out of Mia Goth at all? Like, she was just so bland. I was so disappointed. I feel like this could have been, even, okay, say it was even De Palma directing this. I think he would have done a better job, because he would have made it more, like, Hitchcockian than, you know, it needed to be. Because he would have added that, like, that extra suspense in it, that extra, just the little zing. This felt so flat that I was like, wait, the credits are rolling? Are you kidding me right now?
Yeah.
It's so odd.
Like, and I don't know, the people in the theater didn't get up. I don't know if there was something that we were supposed to wait for the credits, but I felt in you that you were just like, I'm done. But I don't blame you, because I was very bored in the last half.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the last, the third act just was, I was struggling.
It was such a lackluster film compared to the other two. And I feel like he should have ended on a stronger note, you know, because he is supposedly ending this. Like, this is the end of the whole, you know, the trilogy. This is the end. So he should have went out with a bang, something huge, something good, something memorable. But this movie was very bare bones. It was just something you could see on Netflix and be done. It didn't, all the hype that was surrounding this, and just like,
I mean, it's subtle. It's only for, like, cult fans.
Well, yeah. For us. Yeah. I mean, people that are fans of Ty West, people that are fans of Mia Goth and, you know, the ex and the whole thing. It got us wanting something different than what we got. I mean, we were so stoked seeing that preview, and we're like, oh my God, this is going to be amazing. Because if it's anything at all, like, you know, the first two films that he did in this trilogy, it's going to be something. It is going to be really good. He's going to go out with a huge, just a fireworks display here. And it was so lame.
Yeah.
Like, I had nothing to discuss. Like, I was like, okay, well, at least the first two movies had so much to talk about. I mean, just everything. There's so much about those movies, like her acting and just even the story, the plot. I mean, even the characters, everything was you could talk about. Here, I got nothing. It was bare bones. There was no characters to actually give a shit about.
I mean, and it really does, because you're right, because in the other films, there was a sense of directing and trying things out, you know, doing some things, where in Pearl, it was blending with, like, playing with the genre a lot. And mm-hmm. It was doing, you know, surreal things while also knowing exactly. And that's what I like Ty West about, especially with The House of the Devil and these movies, is his use of, like, silence at the right moments, or using a song in a way where it's just really changes the meaning of the moment. And, like, I think he did that brilliantly in X. And here, it was just so, to me, straightforward. And when it got to the ending, I was like, you gotta be fucking kidding me. Like, that's what we were aiming toward? This was the direction?
That's
this
the
was
way
the tone?
I felt. Yeah.
Even, like, he was playing with transitions.
Yeah.
Again, from scene to scene, he was doing transitions like he did the other ones, where they really were creative and really they were different, but they worked in a way what he was trying to tell his story was. Here, it was just like, yeah, I'm going to use transitions because I wanted to feel old. But it just didn't, it wasn't like clever.
It didn't hit. It didn't do the job that he wanted it to do. It just didn't have that effect. And I feel like, I feel like you should end on a strong note, since your first two movies in this series were so goddamn good with, like, the emoting, the acting, everything. Just the look on Mia Goth's face for 20 seconds of a shot where she doesn't even speak and she's just smiling. That has more of an impact than this whole hour and a half or whatever movie, you know, that it was, the runtime of this whole entire movie. I didn't feel any impact at all in this. This was just bare bones. It was boring. There was nothing to even care about or even feel like, oh shit moments, you know? Like, even in X, like, there were so many oh shit moments. We're like, oh my God, are you freaking kidding me? Those kind of moments. Same with Pearl, those kind of moments where you're like, oh, hot damn, you know?
Yeah, it's that buildup.
The buildup.
Moments that are really meaningful.
Yeah.
And here, if things happen to people, I was like, well, I only spent like a couple minutes with these people. Like, I don't really know them enough to feel like they're real characters or people.
Right.
It's not drawing me in. And I don't know if that was the overall message, but there was a couple of times where I was like, you better tell me this isn't really happening. This is some kind of, like, vision.
You know, I felt like that was going to happen because
it feels like it does, and then it doesn't. And
yeah.
It's like, I don't know.
It's like, you know, that whole, I'm a fucking movie star. Okay, here's the thing. How? When did you get there? I would like to see some things, you know? Like, they showed us, but it wasn't enough to fill a whole movie. I just felt let down. I felt, like, dragged through the mud a little bit. Because after seeing the other two, not to sound like a broken record, but there's just nothing here. There was nothing to get me excited or, you know, creep me out. Like, there was creep factor 11. In the first two. Like, I mean, there were moments where you're like, oh my God.
That's where creepy. I brought up that other stuff where I was like, you know, are you going to do film noir horror like we were saying with De Palma?
Yeah.
Are you going to do that? Then, you know, do that. But here, like you said, if you're going to, like, be devoid of the creepy moments and all that and use gore in a comedy way,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. Final scores. What are you thinking about this?
I'm really let down, man. I'm going to just, I mean, this is a mediocre film for me. I'm going to give it a 5. I'm pissed off. I'm let down.
There's a half of me that wants to give it a 6, but I feel like a 5. I feel like maybe one day I'll watch this again and maybe see something a little different.
I don't feel that way.
But that's the only reason I even considering a 6, because I feel like there was things about it that I found okay, but I feel like extremely mediocre is how I feel.
Do you feel at all like let down?
And it feels like it might hurt some of the... I feel like I always kind of had this thought that this movie was unnecessary, especially since the sequel is a prequel.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's really clever to mm-hmm. do a prequel. And then when they said, oh, no, we're going to follow Maxine after X, I was like, oh, okay, that's interesting. Do I need it? Not necessarily. I don't really. I kind of got the idea, but they did set up something with this church stuff. But then do that, you know, do that heavily instead of what they ended up going with. It feels odd.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna have to go 5 as well. It's mediocre.
It just didn't do anything for me. I was severely let down, especially because I don't go into any movie like so stoked that I know I'm gonna come out with like a solid 7. And this time I thought I was coming out with a solid 7. And it pissed me off. I was like, I walked out of there, and on the walk home I'm like, motherfucker. You know, like I'm sitting here for months waiting for this film to come out, and this is the shit that you deliver to me? Like, it didn't do anything for me. Like, there was just no, she didn't even have any moments of severe acting, you know? I wanted severe acting from her because she's so goddamn good, and I got nothing.
Yeah.
So I'm let down. I mean, I'm pretty let down at this movie. So yeah, 5. I don't even care if you see it or not. Go, just wait until it comes on streaming. You don't need to go to the theater.
Yeah.
Yeah, way I see it.
I know. This is an odd beast. I had a fear that this was going to occur. I kind of mentioned it in the opening a little bit with my thought of having her in a world with more characters and more open spaces.
Yeah.
And I think I'm kind of right. But I feel like there was much more here to be afraid of. I thought, in the back of my brain, I'm thinking to myself, this might actually hurt the character unless they can find a way to make it interesting following her, but we need to only follow her. And I was thinking about that the whole time. Like, we have to see her rise from, you know, like becoming a celebrity. And it's like barely touched on. And the moments that the movie does, by the way, take place on movie sets are probably some of the highlights. Like, this is cool.
Yeah.
They show a little bit of filming of a movie, which I wish it was a bigger part of this movie.
Yeah.
This way it could have kind of clashed maybe successfully in a story narrative, but I don't know. Yeah. I think right now my brain will be doing fanfic of what it could have been instead of what we got.
Yeah, agree. And, you know, I'm 100% in support of going to your local theater to support the theaters and keep them alive. But this is a big letdown. But, hey, you know, I'm still in support of the theaters. But
I don't think you have to worry when movies like Minions 8 comes out and like, the theater was slam-packed with kids.
Yeah, that came out tonight, too.
So. Oh, and you know what's crazy, though? Our theater was full.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, we had the small theater this time. Yeah. And it was full. But I want Ty West to do good. I want him to make money. I want Mia Goth to do good. But I just feel really let down. I mean, I'm a fan of Ty West, and I feel like he should have done better.
Yeah, of course, right?
You know, I'm still a fan of his. That doesn't change. However, I just feel very let down by this movie.
I'm hoping this isn't something that continues for next week's movie, because I'm also very much looking forward to next week's horror movie, which is Long Legs. and it has the best trailers of all time. And it is some of the best advertising for a movie that nobody even knows what it is. And I am super stoked. It's also directed by another indie developer. Like, you know, very, his movies are very hit and miss as well. He did like Black Coat's Daughter and stuff like that. And I'm nervous after seeing this, being psyched for Long Legs.
Well, did Nicolas Cage work with this director before?
No.
No? This is the first time?
Yeah.
Well, you know, Nick Cage is very important to me. So I'm stoked to see that. But then again, now I'm scared because I'm like, all right, do I get my hopes up? But then the last time I got my hopes up for a Nicolas Cage movie, it was Pig. And I really liked that one. So I don't know.
My dream scenario as well.
Oh, that movie's great. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know what? I have to ask you this question. Okay. After watching this and being disappointed, looking back at last week's movie, which is The Quiet Place Day One, do you now think that Quiet Place Day One is better than you thought it was?
Yes.
Yeah, I do too. I know. I after thinking about that movie for a couple days, I was like, we might have reviewed it a little too low.
What did I give it? A six? I gave it a six. And you know what? I'm going to stick by that six. It's not a
pretty decent movie.
Well, I'm not going to pit it against this film.
I'm just saying in general, when you look at a movie like this and you're like, yeah, it's Quiet Place was pretty good.
I mean, yeah, but that's just pitting movies against movies. And
yeah.
as a film, I still am going to go and stay with my six because I think it was better than mediocre, but I don't think it was great. So I'm going to stick with my six on that one. But this one's a solid five. I mean, Maxine let me down big time.
All right. So till next week, hopefully we have better success.
Well, Nick Cage never disappoints me. I don't care. He's a national treasure. Oh, damn it. Willy's
Wonderland.
Did you see what I did? It's a national treasure. Fuck.
Oh, jeez.
I did this once before in our podcast. And I totally didn't mean to do that. But yeah, he is a national treasure.
All right, I hope he rocks. Or otherwise, we'll have to get on the Con Air. And
face off?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It might be a good adaptation.
Oh, my God. Stop.
All right, let's get out of here.
You're a movie star.